I would just like to remind the church that we have been praying over the last number of months for the Lord to bring people into the church, to grow the church, and we've been asking the Lord to return people to the church who, for some or other reason, whether it be locality or difficulties, whatever it was, to begin to come back to the church. And this is happening. God is doing this, and we need to understand and to realize this. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5. And there are a number of ways of pronouncing that name, but I prefer Habakkuk. I think we can all understand it. If you go to America, it comes out very different, I think. In fact, when I went to America on a number of occasions and I preached from that particular book, they looked at me as if to ask, which Bible am I reading from? But we're looking at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Several years ago, when we built our little cottage and the kitchen was being done and the plumber was getting ready to set up the water situation in the for the kitchen, we said to him, now you need to be careful where you drill, because you're going to have a problem with this drilling. He says, not to worry, I know exactly where the pipes are. And he did, and he drilled right into it, and it was a bit of a catastrophe. But there's a positive spin-off to this particular situation of drilling in and of tapping in. Do you know that I believe that we're living in a season when God is reviving his work through the much problems, troubles, difficulties that are taking place worldwide, to awaken the church to a deep and a beautiful relationship with God. He's bringing us into this wonderful experience. We have had the privilege of tapping into the person and the gospel and the message and the motivation of the Spirit of the living God. We've plugged into this, and it is an exciting and a wonderful thing. It's in Acts chapter 26 that the Apostle Paul asks this burning question to King Agrippa. He said to him in verse 8, why should it be thought an incredible thing by you that God should raise the dead? And listen, I'm talking to mostly believers today. Why should it be thought an incredible thing that our God should be able to do the exceeding abundantly above what we could ever ask or think? You can just mark that scripture. It's one of the scriptures that God gave us in our reading through the book of the Acts, the first 14 days of the month of January. And there are still truths that is the Lord is emerging into our spirit of what has been said. This morning as I prayed, this verse of scripture came to my heart. Why should it be thought an incredible thing with you that God should be able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think? On Friday morning and Friday evening, as we were praying in the prayer meeting, the Spirit of God quickened a verse of scripture that has been very precious to me for a long time, and a verse of scripture that I, in a sense, have neglected. This happens to us. There are many times that we neglect the Word of God, the Scriptures, the precious promises, these pearls of great price that God has given to us in His Word. And it is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, and verse 5. And this is what it says. And it was one of my favorite scriptures a number of years ago. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told you. This is what our God is preparing for us. It isn't just a gathering of people on a Sunday morning to listen to a sermon. It's a gathering of people to be instructed in the Word of God, to have their faith enthused and lifted so that we can become those doing people for the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of the Acts, chapter 4, verse 13, says that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees looked at these Christians and they saw, wow, these people have been with Jesus. We are living in the era when the Word of God is beginning to spring to life to us. These beautiful gems of God are beginning to emerge once again, and the church is catching fire, tapping in to the glory of the Lord. Look among the nations. Look among the people and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. And even though it goes on to be the negative of the Chaldeans coming in to chastise the Israeli nation or the Jewish nation, it was a work that he said. There's a positive spin-off here. God is going to do a work in our days which we would not believe even though it were told us. Christianity is going to move back by the power of God into the first century of that early church when power just emanated from the lives of the people. Now, in order for this to happen, we've got to understand something. The enemy is going to do everything that he can to get us away from our commitment as well as our dedication. Conrad got up here and spoke on several verses of Scripture, just making a remark, and he ended it off with saying this: it was all up to commitment. Everything that Elijah received was up to his commitment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share a few thoughts with you from different aspects of the book of Daniel this morning, speaking to you about commitment, your conviction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you just going to throw up your arms at the adverse circumstances of your life and say, well, is it worth serving Jesus? Or are you making a commitment, or have you made a commitment that will take you through to the very end of whatever God has for the purpose of your life? Look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days. I believe that there is a work coming. Now, if you would care to do this, you can turn to Daniel chapter 6. Verse 16 to 24, we are not going to read the scripture. We're just going to run across this particular thing and look at a few more incidents in the book of Daniel so that we can realize what commitment is. I want you to realize something here, that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, four Jewish young men who watched their precious temple burn, and had not seen the miracle working power of God, but they went into Babylon, into exile, trusting that God was going to do something for them. Now listen to me, they had not seen a miracle. They had seen the destruction of their temple. They had seen the defeat of their nation and the carrying away into exile. And yet they clung to the glory of the Lord. Now, when this Babylonian thing took place, and if you read the events of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, you'll find that this is how it happened. These were the circumstances. There were a group of people who were opposed to this young Hebrew man that seemed to have such influence and wisdom with the king or with the ruler of Babylon. And they were trying their very best to do what they could to break this down. And in chapter 6, it says that they had schemed out something very clever. And it was this, that if anybody made a prayer or a supplication to any other god for 30 days, that man must be thrown into the lion's den. Now, many times, folk, there is going to be difficulties that are going to try the circumstances of our lives. Our commitment to Jesus Christ is going to be tried. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength." And when the enemy sees that you and I are among the believers who are making progress in God, I want to tell you something. You can expect that there is going to be a relentless attack in your relationship with God. The enemy is going to come in like a flood and relentlessly attack your relationship with God. Now, Daniel was aware of this law that was going to be passed. And the scripture tells us that when the law of the Medes of the Persians was signed, it was like it was cast in concrete. It was unalterable. And the king signed that document. And Daniel knew this, that once that document was signed, his commitment with Christ is going to be sealed. It's going to be tested. It's going to be tried. And whether or not he comes out on the other side as victorious would depend on his commitment. And friends, when you and I go through our hardships, when we feel that we have been abandoned by God and forgotten by God, I want you to remember he is still alive. We've got a man in this church that was sick for several weeks. And this past Wednesday night, he just took the word, opened the word, and he reminded God of God's promises. Woke up Thursday morning completely healed of that condition. And that's what we need to do. His commitment was being tested. And he came through a victory. So Daniel knew that once that was going to be signed, it was going to be a test of his victory. There is no doubt as to the fact that Satan does all that he can to get people, listen to me, not just to backslide, but to fall away from their relationship with God. When these adverse circumstances that we do not understand happens, we fall away. People fall away from God. But when this happens to us, we forget life happens. We are subject to the circumstances of life. We don't have an insurance policy that guarantees us against problems, difficulties, and hardships. But we have the presence of God who said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but fear not the world, for I have overcome it." So Daniel knew this, that the enemy has a sack full or a barn full of tricks that he is going to use. And one of the tricks he was going to use for Daniel was compromise. Will Daniel compromise his stand that he has made with God? But regardless of what takes place, there will always be a people who know their God, who are going to trust him regardless of the circumstances. Gloria Gaither, in the last century, wrote a beautiful song. God has always had a church. God has always had a church. And God will always have men and women who believe in their word, in his word. Now, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 says this. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God as his custom was. Daniel's heart, soul, and might was behind who it was and who it is that he believed in. Regardless of what laws they were going to pass, Daniel was committed to Jesus Christ, just as Elisha was committed to watching every movement of Elijah. Wherever he was going, whatever he was doing, he was going to follow that man because he was committed to him. Daniel's heart, soul, and mind, let me repeat, was behind what it was that he was serving and who it was that he believed in. He believed in the risen Christ. Let me ask you a question today. Why are we believers? Are we believers to walk down a path that is lined with roses and many blessings and much prosperity and whatever? And we break down when we get the first puncture that comes along our way, the first difficult. We are serving God because we love Him, because He transformed our lives, and because He brought us into the newness of life. And He enables us how to deal with the hardships that come up in our lives. Habakkuk 1 verse 5 again. Look among the nations and watch, but be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days that you would not believe if you were told it. Do you believe God is almighty? Do you believe that He can do all things? Do you believe that He can meet needs and satisfy lives? Yes, we believe that, and I believe that we must move in. Now, during a time of trial, when you and I are tempted, and many times we are tempted to compromise, we are tempted to give up, we feel that God is not going to answer our prayer because of the circumstances of our lives. This is what God says. I will work a work in your day. You can underline that scripture. I will work a work in your day which you would not believe, though it were told you. I believe it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to return to that place in their relationship with God, where what is written in the Word, what has been promised by God in the Word, is what we are going to live by, and we are going to commit ourselves to and remain committed to. Do what Daniel did. He opened his window, the top window in the upper room where people could see him, and he prayed 3 times a day as was his custom. Nothing was going to put him off. Oh, but if it was us, I know that if it was me, I would probably pray in the basement where nobody could see me. Oh, I'm holding my commitment. I'm keeping it together. But not this man. This man prayed in the upper room where anybody and everybody could see what he was doing. He enjoyed serving God. It was his custom to pray and to serve God. Now, I know that that might sound very easy to do, because I can sit here and say it. I'm not feeling your pain. I don't have the family problems of getting together and having to make right with all sorts of circumstances. I know that the family may not quite be together. I know that the finances of your life may not be healthy, so it's easy for me to say, trust God, believe in His Word. You know, when you are struggling with some or other emotion, I want you to do this. In your mind, open the window and pray, as is your custom. Believe God, as is your custom. Our problem may not be as desperate as the lion's den, but when we feel that it is, the truth is, our problem, our heartache, our trial is not, in fact, a den of lions. It's not. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, you have not yet suffered unto the shedding of blood. Go up to Iraq and into eastern Syria just to see what is happening there. People are barbarically being beheaded, slain, because they are Christians. They go by the name of Christian. Do you know that the majority of those people that are being slain for God, I mentioned this the other day, are what we call Orthodox Christians, which is a kind of a Catholic type faith. But it's Orthodox, it's more strict than the Catholic faith. Those people haven't had an encounter with God, and yet they are ready to stand in that firing line and die for what they believe. Where do we stand? How is our commitment? How ripe is this commitment that we have with God? Read Hebrews 10 and see where it says, you have not yet suffered unto the shedding of blood. And we haven't. We are a very fortunate people. Open your window like David did and continue to worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. Who can quote that scripture? Anybody? Volunteers. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. But with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. That is basically telling me that there is nothing in this world that somebody has not gone through before. And let me add, they have probably overcome it. So why can't we come through the problems that we have? Oh, we sulk when we can't get a parking where we need to get a parking. God isn't answering my prayer. If I've got a toothache or a headache or something like that, and I ask God to heal it, He doesn't. And it isn't healed the way I want it to be healed. We sulk. God isn't answering our prayer. What's the level, the depth of our commitment in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Our God is able to do anything, and we need to believe that. Romans chapter 8, 37 says this, yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who, through Christ, who loved us. Romans 8:33 says, what shall separate us from the love of God? These are beautiful scriptures, and we don't have the problems that some people have. But we have problems. We have difficulties. We have trials. We have needs which need to go to God and be able to say to Him, Lord, this is my need. Meet that need. You know, if we move back to Daniel chapter 6, again, verse 7. These people consulted together to establish a royal law and to make a firm decree that whatever petitions, whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And of course, the king thought, well, that's a jolly good idea. Why didn't I think of that? So that if they make a petition or pray, they've got to pray to me. After all, I'm this amazing leader, divine leader, powerful leader, so I must be a god. So they've got to petition me. And he thought that was a brilliant idea. But he didn't foresee the fact that he was signing a decree against one of his most trusted men, Daniel. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed, gave thanks before God, as his custom was since the early days. Daniel 6, verse 10. So all we have to do is look at this amazing commitment in the face of death. When we go back to Daniel chapter 3, just for example, to look at these three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three friends of Daniel. They had the courage to challenge the most powerful man in the world with these words. I want you to see, I'm speaking about the level of commitment. Can we commit to Christ? Or is this just a gathering where we've come to listen to a sermon? Or are we going to get something out of this sermon to say, our God is able? And that is the whole objective of this message, to believe, to live, to say, our God is able. Heard the story of a young man who rode past one of these people who are recycling paper and whatever, sitting on the side of the road with his trolley and with his head down, absolutely exhausted, probably discouraged to the very lowest level that he can get to. And this young man saw this fella sitting there. He didn't have much to give him, but he stopped off at the first shop. He bought bread, something to drink, and something else to eat. And he came back to that man. He said, I don't have much, but what I have, I give you. Where is that sympathy? Where is that empathy that we need to have with the people? It's gone. It's gone. And that was obviously a need. I know that there are some of these needs where they're collecting for money for drugs. I know that. So we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. But we need to be in that position. Here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's three friends. They had courage. Courage enough, listen to this, to challenge the most powerful man in the world. Have you ever realized that? They had courage to challenge the most powerful man in the world. The king said to them, when you hear the sound of music and you refuse to bow and worship the idol that I have made, into the fire you go. Now let me repeat something which is very important. They had never seen anybody saved from a fire yet. Miraculous. Never seen it. And yet they were willing to stand. Listen, there are many miracles we haven't seen. Many of our prayers may not have been answered. That doesn't mean to say they're never going to be answered. It means to say we need to hold on to our commitment and believe God. So these three Hebrew men stood there. And in Daniel 3, verse 17 and 18, they looked at the king and they said, well, let me paraphrase this. Play the music. Do your best. Turn up the volume. Hit that bass. I'm ready for it. Our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, we will not serve your gods. That's commitment, folk. And we haven't been tested in that area yet. We are not there yet. Speaking about our commitment. How are we dealing with our problems, our difficulties, our disappointments? When that king went to have a look at that furnace, he said, didn't we throw in three people into that fire? And behold, I see four. Oh, I love this. The fourth is like the Son of God. The Son of God came himself to rescue these men, to dance with them in that fire, and to bring them out of that furnace unscathed, unburned, and even not smelling bad. Wow, what a God. Now, I want you to hear this. When we can get our level in our relationship right with God, there is going to be a testimony that is going to follow your life and mine. And it's not going to be, well, if that's a Christian, count me out, I don't want to be it. There are plenty of people, probably some sitting in this church, who cannot react to certain situations, and the statement that is made, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. But this was the statement that was made of these three men. The king answered and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings. When Nebuchadnezzar, the king, spoke of this God, he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And then he made this statement. Nebuchadnezzar speaking said this, therefore I make a law that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver. He didn't say, well, if that's a believer, I don't want to be one. He said, there is no other God. Listen, folk, this is what God's calling for us. There's an experience called holiness. There are gifts called the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit must stay on the tree of our life, regardless of what happens in our circumstances. We have to take drastic decisions sometimes, but we don't have to get upset about it and be ugly about it. In Daniel, we read this of King Nebuchadnezzar having another dream. And Daniel is the person God uses to interpret the dreams. And he tells the king, here's what your dream was, and this is what it means. You're about to lose your mind. Not a message anybody wants to hear, but king, you're about to go daft. You're about to lose it completely. And the next thing, he's crawling around like an animal, eating grass and doing all sorts of fancy things. And then in Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 to 37, I'm speaking about commitment. That king went through that commitment, possibly with the knowledge in the back of his mind of what he had already seen and experienced with this God of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 4, 34 to 37, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. Where did he lift his eyes to? I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from God. He lifted his eyes to heaven, and his understanding returned to him. And I blessed the Most High and praised, and I honored him who lives forever. Listen what he's saying about God. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. No one can restrain his hand. At the same time, my reason has returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, listen, he got everything back. Who wants a madman or a former madman as their leader? I don't think anybody does. He said, my glory, the glory of my kingdom, my honor, my splendor returned to me. My counselors and the nobles resorted to me. They came to him for advice and guidance. I was restored to my kingdom. The excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are justice. Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Those who walk in pride. Have you seen what I've done? Have you seen how well I dress? Have you seen my bank balance? Have you seen how effective I am when I'm praying for the sick? Four Jewish young men brought the most powerful empire to its knees and to admitting that the God of heaven is the God of glory. The three said, "We will not serve your God." And the fourth went home and opened the doors and prayed three times a day, as was his custom. What is our custom? What is our custom? Listen to this word of God. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were true. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we serve. It is in Him we live, move, have our being. He is our Lord. Was this a good sermon? It wasn't meant to be. It was meant to bless you. It was meant to touch your heart. If it was a good sermon, praise the Lord for that. As long as the truth of the nuclear of this message stays in our hearts, that our commitment is to Jesus and to Him only. Let's stand together. Want our heads bowed, please? We've had it so easy in our church, in our country. So many things that we, when it comes time to us witnessing for Jesus, we just don't do it. We miss the opportunities. I've missed opportunity upon opportunity. I am with you. If you've missed it, I've missed it as well. Many, many times. I'm here to ask God to forgive me, to bring me to that next level called commitment without compromise, so that I can serve Him in spirit and in truth. My life is for Him. I want to live for Him. Where are you? Where is your commitment? Are you still walking along that path strewn with roses, thinking that everything is going to be well as you walk along that path? No problems, no difficulties. But I want to tell you something. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and he is going to come, and he is going to hound us, try us, test us, put us through the ringer, if our commitment to serve God is serving without compromise, we'll come through victorious. And that amazing verse of scripture in Habakkuk will come alive in our lives. Let me ask you before we pray, why is it thought an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? Can He not do anything Is he not able to do this? Is he not able to meet our needs, to touch our people, to touch our lives? Yes, he is. And we praise him for that. Father, I come to you this morning in the marvelous and in the amazing name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, if we don't have your presence, we cannot commit. If we don't have Jesus Christ in our lives, we cannot commit because we've got nothing to commit to. And I pray in the name of Jesus, if there is any person in this church that is not in a relationship with God, will you raise your hand? Let me see it. I'd love to pray for you. I take it then that we're all born again and we all know Jesus. I take it then that we all want to be lifted by the Spirit of God to this next level of commitment without compromise. Hallelujah. Of obeying the Word of God and living for Jesus. Father, I commit this congregation of precious people to you this morning. Make us the people that you want us to be. Take away the dryness of the desert that we sometimes live in. This desert where there is no presence of God, where there is no anointing of the Holy Ghost. And bring us into the place where this very essence of our prayer is, Lord, give us boldness to speak the word of God and shake the very existence of our being with the presence and the power of the Spirit of the living God. We love you this morning, Lord. We lift our hands to you in worship and adoration. We lift our hands to you in worship and adoration. We lift our hands to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we can be victorious. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we will see these promises fulfilled, or we will be a part of the work, which if we were told what it is, we wouldn't believe it. We can be a part of this amazing gospel of Jesus Christ. We worship and adore you. Hallelujah. 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 Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Present this thing to God now. In the name of Jesus, open the window of your soul and pray as is your custom. Make it your custom. Bring this burden, bring this thing to God and hand it over to Him and say, today I get the victory. Today I take my victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord and my God. Thank you, my Lord and my God. In Jesus' name, I take my victory. I take my victory. Lord, I want to pray for any who are sick this morning. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will touch each one by that grace and power of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, minister to the sick. Even if they are not here, there's no distance in prayer. Reach out to them now, in Jesus' name, and touch them for your glory. And Lord, as we prepare to take of the bread and of the cup, I ask that it will be another solemn, beautiful experience in God, where we will sense your presence, your power, and your anointing. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated.